Like the show? Want to listen to episodes early? Consider becoming a patron. Starting at the $3 a month level, patrons get access to a custom patron-only feed where we put out episodes of upstairs studio podcasts like the Childcare Bar and Grill, Miss Becky's Classroom, That Early Childhood Nerd, the Renegade Rules podcast, and others early. That feed is just for patrons. You could be one of them. Go to patreon.com/playvolutionhq or click the link in the show description to learn more. Welcome to the Child Care Bar and Grill podcast. Jeff Johnson coming to you live from upstairs studio. In studio with me is nobody. The dog's not even here today. All alone, but thanks to the power of technology, we've got Lisa Murphy in New York State. How you doing, Lisa Murphy?
I am awesome, thank you.
That's delightful. Live from the Explorations Early Learning Intergalactic Headquarters Dining Room, Mess Hall, is Tasha Johnson.
Aloha.
And we've got a special guest. We've got Josie with us. How you doing, Josie?
I'm great. Thanks for having me.
Josie's in Kansas City area. So here's the deal, people. We teased this a couple episodes back. We're going to start trying this new thing where we have experts in their field, kind of field reporters on the show periodically to discuss stuff. Josie's our go-to librarian. And so Josie's going to be joining us with book recommendations and library and literacy chat, because that's kind of an important thing to us, people reading. And I came up with a Josie jingle, which I did with trepidation, because then when we roll out some of the other guests we're planning, I'm going to have to come up with fucking jingles for them, and it's going to be a whole thing.
Because you don't want jingle envy.
Yeah, you can't have jingle envy. You can't have jingle envy, and then the problem is I got to remember the jingles, and some jingles might be harder, and it's going to be a real complicated thing. Let's see. Fuck, I can't remember it.
Oh, man.
Does anybody remember the jingle?
You were the one that you were, it was.
I know, I was so excited about you. It
was. It had recommended in it.
But I typed it. Okay. Josie's here with a book recommendation and some literacy conversation.
Yay!
I can probably, if listeners, you know, if we hear from enough listeners that they like that, we can actually hire a band and put together a real intro that I can paste in here. So hopefully not many people will like it, so I don't have to, have to do all that
now
work.
They're gonna purposely like it just to.
And then I can just sing it each time if I remember it. So here's the plan is, we haven't done this before, so we'll invent it while we go. The plan is we're going to have Josie on. Josie is a professional librarian.
Yay!
Although, she is not at the moment. We're recording on Zoom, so we're all looking at each other. She's not wearing glasses, and she doesn't have her hair up in a bun. So not looking very librarian-y to me.
Sorry.
We'll talk about this too. The library isn't the library that I went to back in the 70s and 80s. So the library has changed. Josie, what do you have to recommend to us in this first Josie episode?
Well, let's see. I pulled some books for little ones. I think you could use these. I think you'd probably be best with toddlers, but preschoolers, kindergartners, babies, you know, books are for everyone. But these are books that I think would be great in a toddler classroom. And they're actually older titles, so a lot of you have probably heard of them already, but they are some of my favorites to use with that group. And the first one I have is Owl Babies by Martin Waddell.
I love that book.
I love that one.
Everybody's nodding their head. Everyone likes Owl Babies. I'm going to hold it up, even though I know people listen to the podcast.
Nobody can see it.
If you have this book on your bookshelf, run to the shelf and get it now and hold it up, and that'll be what, like, Josie's doing. So I like this book. The illustrations are delightful.
They are delightful. And the text is really lyrical.
Mm-hmm. As lyrical as the Josie jingle that I wrote?
Nothing is as good as that. But for listeners who are unfamiliar with the book, it's about three little owl babies that have been left in their nest by their mother while she goes out hunting. And she doesn't come back, and she doesn't come back. And they begin to worry, one of them more than the other two. And, you know, eventually, spoiler alert, it's a happy ending. She comes back. She wasn't eaten by a cat or something. There are books like that. Don't look at me like that.
When are you going to recommend that book? I haven't seen the children's book where the owl mama gets eaten by a cat. Is that really a book that's out there?
I will find
it. It's a fairy tale.
But I mean, this book is just, the pictures are beautiful. The words are fun. It's fun to listen to. But, you know, it's also a great book if you have a child who's dealing with some anxiety because they've been left with you as their provider all day and they're missing mom and they're worried, is mom really going to come back? This can kind of provide some comfort.
Yeah, so let's talk about that for a minute. Books, children's books can actually help kids work through their shit, huh?
They can. I'm actually presenting on that at a conference next week.
Well, aren't you fancy?
I am fancy. I am fancy.
Are you going to wear your fancy bitch shirt too?
I hope, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, wear that to the conference.
I dare you.
I would like a job.
Hey, so tell me, I'm going to throw something out that Bev Boz taught us, that the books need to have already been in the child's repertoire before you reach to them when like an issue arrives. Can you speak to that? Do you agree with that? Disagree with that? Have any thoughts on that?
Sure. I mean, I think the first time you visit a book with a child, they might be following the story, but they're really looking at the pictures and, you know, just taking it in. And I think, I mean, it does, you know, children want to revisit the same book over and over and over again. And if you're using a book just for a message, that's kind of risky because, first of all, children don't really like to be preached to. And, it might just not happen that first time, but if this is a book that they know and they love and they're comfortable with, then I think you could draw from it more like, oh, you are worried about mommy. Hey, let's read our owl books. And you could talk about that. Those owl babies are worried about their mommy too. But what happens? I think repetition is always going to make something easier to start a conversation with.
Right. Yeah, yeah. Like, and you're saying exactly what she pretty much used to say too, which is anytime it's teachy or preachy or there's an adult agenda, the kids are going to totally turn.
Sure they are.
Tune that out. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so tell me the book, when was it published? It's like 2000 and...
No, it's...
No, is it older than that?
It's 1992.
Damn, I'm old. Oh yeah,
of course. You remember when it was new?
I guess 1992 would be exactly when our kids were young.
The two of them.
Yeah, both Tyler and Zoe loved that book, and it was always a go-to book back in the direct care days, and I think it was delightful. And kids are dealing with that shit, and owls are also fucking cool. That's another big selling point for it. But I love that the illustrations are so detailed and such a big part of the book too.
Oh, yeah. I'd have the kids join in with the baby owl. What did it say? I want my mommy.
I want my mommy.
Mommy, yes, yes, yes. That was like their favorite part to chime in at and everything. So it was a great, I don't know, it was fun. Loved it. Yeah.
So that is our Josie recommendation for the day. And now we got to ask Josie the hard question. A couple episodes ago, I can't get the lid. I put lotion on my hands and I can't physically get the lid off pen right now.
The cap off your pen.
The cap. Yeah, I got to reach for a pencil. A number of episodes ago, we recorded with Dan Hodgins, and we were talking about libraries, and we mentioned that we thought libraries had changed and weren't so shh, be quiet, like they used to be, and we decided, we kind of tabled that discussion until we had Josie on, because we knew Josie was an expert on libraries. So what's the current trend in libraries and noise, Josie?
Yeah, the library is not really a quiet place anymore. Now, most good libraries will have a place for you to go if you need a quiet study room, because there are people there who actually do need a different environment. But the hub of the library, you've got people on the computers, you've got people asking questions, you've got programming going on, you've got families there reading with their kids, you've got... Gosh, I don't know. I mean, you'll have people that will like get together and have a meeting in the middle of the library at one of the tables. They don't really have their study rooms even. It is really
more of a social hub, would you say?
Yeah.
A living organism. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it really is. And I think that stereotype of, you know, you walk into a library and it's dead silent and you see people sitting at tables or in chairs with their heads down quietly reading. That's not really how people use libraries anymore. When someone comes in to the library to read, they maybe will sit in the back and where it's a little bit quieter in a chair, but most of the time they're coming in, they're getting their books, and they want to read, they're going home. They're coming into the library for a reason. And like, I mean, I can only speak for our branch, but you know, our children's area is near the front door, and we encourage families to sit down and play with their kids. We have out just, you know, different, a flannel board and Legos and puzzles and different types of toys. And we encourage them to be a little noisy. And what's funny to me is it's not the librarians that will come over and shush you in a library. It is the patrons, and I hate to stereotype, but it is usually the older patrons who remember libraries from
back in the day when it was quiet.
We actually had an angry parent post a rant about us on Facebook saying that, you know, their children were playing, we have a puppet show stage, and they were putting on a puppet show, and an angry librarian came over to shush them. And we all talked, and we tried to figure out who this was, and we realized it had to be just another patron in the library. It wasn't one of us.
Well, maybe you need to get a group together. I mean, you usually go for the younger kids and, you know, have their playtime or their book story time. Maybe you need to have an adult one, an older one, and teach them that this is the way it's going to be now, and let them in on the new wave of things.
Well, you know, we actually do. We offer several, I mean, three or four different monthly book clubs for adult patrons. But I feel like the people that utilize those are usually the ones that are okay with.
True. With the way
things are. And I will say, with any public place, I mean, there's a level of respect.
Oh, yeah.
It is not okay to unleash your children into the library and let them treat like a playground.
Go roam free.
And we do have the occasional family that, you know, they just let their kids go and there's books flying. And I mean, but in the same way, you wouldn't allow a grown up to come in and do that either. But no, if you're looking for a quiet place where children are seen and not heard, I would hope that your public library is not the place for you.
Okay, so listeners, I opened up a bottle of something I can't pronounce about 20 minutes before we started recording, and it turns out it's a Belgian beer that's kind of high alcohol content. But when it comes to librarians, I would
Jeff's clearly turned into a lightweight.
Well, I don't drink a lot anymore, and apparently, 75. I would like, I would like a librarian to come over to me and shush me and tell me to be a good boy.
Wrong podcast.
maybe we need to work that into the Miss Becky's classroom podcast.
That's the one.
How else? I'm gonna ask a question. How else have libraries changed? So for people who are listening, like I and I'm asking a question, but I'm telling you a story at the same time. Maybe walking through some of the biggest changes for somebody who maybe hasn't been to the library in a while, or maybe I'm thinking specifically a family child care provider who might be like kind of locked into that old school mindset, who's like, I can't bring six kids to the library. This would be, you know, how am I going to make them all be quiet? You know, so, or maybe specific questions that they might be able to ask, or, you know, what they maybe can expect.
Sure.
As some of the changes. And I'm going to tell you the one that blew my mind, and you're going to laugh because it's really no big deal. I had a librarian tell me that she loves it when kids rip books because it means, I'm going to sneeze. Sorry. It means that they love the book. She's like, there's a difference. It's not like ripping it because I'm, you know, wanting to piss you off. It's that the pages, I'm turning the pages and I want to read it again and again and again. And I'm so excited. And oh, excuse me, finally. Sorry. But they said, you know, we don't actually get upset. Because clearly most of the time it's not intentional. And they even told me where to get the special clear, thick packing tape that I always, you know, was jealous that tape was like special librarian fixed the book. Yes, okay. I had a librarian tell me, she told me one time, she said, don't mend the books before you bring them back because we have special tape. Like my tape wasn't good enough.
we do have some special tape.
What? Okay. We got to delve into that for our podcast. Let's see, what kind of tape do you use, Josie?
Can you tell?
I don't order it. I don't know what it's called. It's just there. It's really thick.
It is. Huh. It's really thick, clear packing tape, but it's like thicker than what we pack boxes with.
Yeah. I don't know. Huh.
Well,
library tape.
There's your challenge for a future episode. Find out what that tape is. Find it on Amazon so I can share a link because I'm sure childcare centers would and some mommies and daddies might like to know what kind of tape that is. And the librarians shouldn't be the only ones that know about that kind of tape. This is a free market capitalist society, and we should make that tape available to everybody. What about the damn card catalog? Does that still exist?
No.
Hold on. She's going to walk us through. Let her walk us through some of the changes too.
Okay. So let's say you are coming to the library for the first time in
20 years.
Please do. If you are a family child care provider, we love when you bring the kids in, especially find out when your local story time is. That's free entertainment for an hour. It's something you guys can get out of the house, hear a story, play with some toys. Please bring them. I love it when daycares come to story time. But when you walk in, if you have a question, there is usually a front desk where you can go talk to the librarians. But if you want to go find a specific book, the card catalog is gone. You will no longer find drawers full of little cards.
All my elementary grade blown to bits.
I know.
I mean, learning Aren't how to glad use
you
it.
Learned that skill?
Yeah.
Instead, it's all online, which has its pros and cons. We've got lots of computers where you can enter it in the card catalog. It'll tell you if it's available at your branch. And I will say, don't assume when you walk into the library that you are going to find the book you want that day. That's probably the number one.
Especially if it's the New York Times bestseller fiction that 20,000 people are reading right now.
Or, I mean, even children's books. Because, I mean, of course, this is just one branch or one library system. We're pretty big. We've got 31 branches. We have a floating collection, and that's pretty common in the library now, which means a branch doesn't own a book. The system owns the book. So if somebody wants the book at my branch and we don't have it, we'll put it on hold for them. It will come from three towns over. And then once they turn it back in, it stays at our branch until somebody else wants it. So the collection, when you go to use the catalog, it'll tell you if it's at the branch you're at, where you can find it if it's not, and if you want it to be at your branch, you can put it on hold and they'll send it to you there. But just keep that expectation
that you send it to you that you like to have to go to the branch and get it.
Yeah, usually you do have to come to the branch and get it, but you can choose which branch you want it sent to.
Okay, Josie, this is an idea I'm going to throw out there for free. Your library system can use this. I don't even need a percentage. Uber Books.
Is that a thing yet?
Is that a thing yet? So you want a book from the library? Fucking Uber driver delivers it to yourself. You pay the delivery fee, whatever that is, but the book fucking comes to your house.
Some bookstores are doing that.
Really?
Yeah, they are. Independent bookstores.
Oh, cool.
The little drone uh-huh. comes flying through the neighborhood, drops the book down.
In like New York, I think some of the bigger bookstores have been doing that. Like you can get a book under 2 hours or something like that.
How many books can you check out at a time? How many kids' books can you check out at a time?
At our library, up to 200.
At one time?
Uh-huh. You can have 200 books out at once. Now, if you are a childcare provider who really just doesn't have the time to come in and do all of this, contact your local library because most of them offer a teacher assist program, and it can be used by homeschooling families and childcare providers as well, where you say, I want 80 kids books on whatever topic, and the library staff pulls those for you, has it all packed up in a nice little box. You can come up, pick up your box. You don't have to look for anything.
Wow.
So those programs are available.
The Lisa Murphy input to that is that one, an awesome service, two, and a reminder though, to the listeners, the Lisa Murphy bias on that is that you're not allowed to put all those books out at circle time until you've read all of them.
That's true.
You know, you gotta, and I'm not implying that they're bad books or anything or inappropriate, but you have to have a working knowledge, I think, of the content that you're putting out there for the children. Also, kids aren't used to all those new books. You have to anticipate that they are going to get some rips and some excited, like, wow. So just be mindful of how quickly you're introducing the new stuff to the kids in your program.
Yeah, and I will say those librarians are not going to sit there and vet every single one of those books. They're going to pull up a list of books on learning how to use the potty, and they're just going to pull everything they have. It could be total crap.
Yeah.
Literally.
But I'm bummed. I actually had a librarian tell me that one time, and that kind of blew my mind too. She said, don't assume that because it's in the library, it's a good book.
Oh, sure.
And I was like, what? And
oh, yeah. Come on.
I just never stopped to think about the fact that just because it's there doesn't mean it, you know, would pass muster.
Oh, that's actually something I had for us to talk about, but this is an entirely different. That's an entire podcast itself.
Save that for the next episode we do with you, because it's about time to wrap this one up.
Can I say something really fast, though?
I don't know if you can say it fast, but you can say it.
About tearing books.
Uh-huh.
Check with your library, because some are going to say, hey, we totally understand that books get torn. Other places are going to say, you now owe me $14.95.
Hi, I'm a family child care provider. Tell me your policy. Would that be the right language?
Tell me your policy on damaged books.
Damaged books.
I mean, a lot of times, if, you know, they are flipping the pages, and pages are thin, they get torn, no big deal. Nobody's going to say anything about that to you. But if the book is missing pages, you probably will be charged for that.
Well, sure.
For that copy. Well, but some people get really upset about that, so.
Really?
I've completely destroyed this. I don't think I should have to pay for it later. No, that's just silly.
You would be amazed at the things people turn back in.
That goes to my my ongoing theory that some people are just total assholes. I don't know if that's true.
Cousin but... company excluded.
well, I don't know about that, but Josie, that was great. So we're reading Owl Babies. Owl Babies. If you haven't read Owl Babies, it's from just about 20 years ago, but over 20 years ago. God damn.
Going on 30.
Yeah.
I know. I remember when it was a brand new book too.
Man, we're so old. Anyway, it should be in your collection. If it's not, check it out. I'll try. You know what? I'm going to add a link to it in the show notes to this episode. Josie, how do people find you on the social media if they want to? And do you have anything you want to plug?
Let's see. You can find me on the social media.
She's looking it up.
I'm on Instagram at Josie and Juliet Reed, and we can put links to these.
And that's cute because Juliet is Josie's daughter, and she is awesome. And she believed there was a mermaid living in my pond, which was delightful to me for a while. Anything else you want to plug?
And let's see, I'm on Twitter at JND4ZC. That's complicated. We'll send out some links, but, yeah, you should listen to Miss Becky's Classroom.
Ah, there we go. Josie kind of plays the lead character in the Miss Becky's Classroom podcast, mm-hmm. Where there's a lot of time and space travel and there've been, we've been to, 1920 speakeasies and we've been to dinosaur land and there's a lot of shit going on in that podcast. So if you're looking for collaborative fiction, it might be a show.
Did you guys see
to.
Though the first time? No,
oh,
the second
that showed
episode,
up in your page.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That, and somebody was like, "I don't think this is you. Don't click this." And I'm like, it's weird, but it's valid.
Yeah. The link to one of the first episodes showed up on Lisa Murphy's Facebook page, and I think you were out of the country at the time too. So
and somebody ran interference and was like, "No, it's okay."
Yeah, weird, yeah. It's kind of a weird podcast, but we're having fun doing it. And Josie plays Miss Becky, the lead character in that show. This has been the Child Care Bar and Grill podcast. We'll be back soon with another episode. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for sharing the show with a friend. Bye-bye.
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 Oh, everybody did it right. That was great. This has been an Explorations Early Learning Upstairs Studio production. Oh.